Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Seems like most of our crowd thought there was a typhoon. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no cause for offense in anything, in order that the ministry be not discredited, but in everything commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying yet behold we live, as punished yet not put to death, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. Our mouth has spoken freely to you, O Corinthians. Our heart is open wide. You are not restrained by us, but you are restrained in your own affections. Now in a like exchange, I speak as the children, open wide to us also. Do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness, or what harmony has Christ with Belial, or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever, or what agreement has the temple of God with idols, for we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore come out from their midst, and be separate, says the Lord. And do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Amen. Chapter 6 is actually a somewhat difficult passage, or chapter, to kind of wrap our brains around. But we'll try our best. In the end of chapter 5, he talks about that we are ambassadors. Actually, going up to verse 17, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. And he's talking about how these new things have been reconciled to us by Christ. And then verse 20, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating it through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And so Paul in chapter 5 begins to talk about the response of man. This is what happens to us. This is how this life in God begins to work. And through that, you cannot come to this righteousness on your own merit. You can't come to this place simply by what you do. It's actually only through the righteousness of Christ. It's through his suffering, and him who knew no sin became sin in our behalf. And so he's urging them to be reconciled with God. But again, not based on what they're able to do, but simply based on what Christ has already done for them. And he says, look, this is the acceptable time, or verse 1. And working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. This is not meant to say that grace is irrelevant or grace is ineffective. It is, but there comes a moment where there is a working with grace. Imagine it's a gift. Grace is a gift that's given to us, but if you don't receive it, then it has hardly any power in our life whatsoever. In the same way, in salvation, the free gift of God that he offers to you, if you don't receive it, then you're not saved. And there is a partnership that needs to take place here. And so he's telling these guys, be reconciled to God. Look, today, he says, he's quoting Isaiah 49, at the acceptable time I listened to you, on the day of salvation I helped you. And now he says, today, right now is the acceptable time, and right now is a day of salvation. And he's urging these guys, going all the way back to verse 20, the chapter before, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Get your life in order. Make sure that you're in that place that you need to be with the Lord. And then he continues on. And remember, this whole book in many ways is an appeal to the Corinthians about Paul's position in their life and his apostleship, who he is, and remember, there's detractors that have been coming in and sharing all these things to him. And so he gives them this idea, and he starts off, and now he's kind of going back to himself. So focus on the Corinthians, and now he's back to himself. He says, giving no cause for offense in anything, in verse 3, in order that the ministry be not discredited. Sometimes, in Paul's economy, sometimes he says things that could be offensive, but he himself personally is not taking any offense. In other words, he's saying, I'm living a righteous life. I may say certain things. There may be the gospel in itself could be somewhat offensive, but he says, but the way that I live my life, there is no offense. There's nothing that gets in the way. The ministry is never discredited. And I think this is a very sobering word for all of us, not just pastors and leaders, but every single one of us that are Christians, that even though sometimes some things that we say could be offensive, you know, I mean, you tell people that are sex maniacs and you say, hey, you know what, it's probably not the best thing to sleep around. It becomes very offensive to people. But the key is that our lives are above reproach in many, many different aspects, that we live above, and so that in any matter, in any case, that whatever we do, the ministry that we have with people, that the labors that we offer up in the name of Jesus, that it would not be discredited. I mean, how many of us have come into places of disappointment because of some minister or some person that we really admired and said very wonderful things and taught us and maybe even discipled us, and then we learn later on that they did stupid things. In other words, they were hypocritical. And it's quite disheartening, isn't it? On many levels, especially in the church when leaders do that. And Paul, he really was quite vigilant in this way. He says, man, that the ministry be not discredited. That whatever the flow of his life, the output of his life would not be discredited. And so there is something to be said about being integrous, and something to be said about doing what you say. Remember, in the whole part of the two chapters before, he's really been dealing a lot with the Greek dualism, you know, dealing with the body and the soul and the differences, and how the Greeks really viewed the body as something that's not so important, but the soul was what really mattered. And he's going back and forth. And in that same way, we as Christians, we can also live very easily in this kind of dualism of that, well, you know, what I do, it's not really going to affect too much. It's this rationalization. Well, that deal, it's okay if I fudge a little bit or whatnot. But what happens is your ministry becomes discredited. And now you have no life to speak into people's lives in that way. And then in this part, he's kind of turning it to himself, and he says, look, this is our ministry. Our ministry should be commended. In other words, you should look to us and not necessarily approve what's going on, but he's saying that you should change your attitude towards me. This is what we're going through. Everything, commending ourselves, servants of God. And notice the different categories by which he operates. Now, some of us, when we talk about being servants of God, we didn't really count on endurance, afflictions, hardships, distresses, beatings, imprisonments, tumults, labor, sleeplessness, hunger. Most of us, when we received a call to be a servant of God, in other words, when you became a Christian, most of us were not thinking, oh my goodness, I get to be in prison. Woo! I get to be beat up. I get to be insulted all the time. Woo! This is a Christian life. Isn't this great? I guarantee not a single one of us has this in mind. But Paul says, as servants of God, of endurance, afflictions, hardships, even as sleeplessness, hunger. And then he gets to the parts that we really think about when we think about servants, right? Purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, Holy Spirit, genuine love, the word of truth, the power of God, the weapons of righteousness. This is kind of like what we signed up for in a certain way. This is also part of being part of the kingdom of God. But also there's a whole other part as well, and it's this dichotomy, paradox that we live in. Glory, dishonor, evil report, good report, deceivers, yet true, unknown, yet well known, dying, yet behold we live, punished, yet not put to death, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, having nothing, yet possessing all things. And this is the paradox of the Christian life. Paul is addressing all aspects of kingdom work. Sometimes there's power, joy, purity, all these things. Sometimes there's incredible difficulty as well. Imprisonments, heartaches. When I was in Hawaii, there was some very, very well-known Chinese house church leaders that were there. I got invited to kind of this dinner just with just a few people, and we got to hear their story kind of in depth. And just listening to them, you know, it's just like, you know, I'm sitting across the table from them, and I'm listening, and of course there's translation going on, and I'm thinking, I'm a Christian just like you are. Like, I'm a human being just like you. But why are you so different than me? Hey, you guys ever meet people like that? And you're like, I'm just like you, but why are you so different than me? There must be something kind of weird about this. But it's not so much a guilty feeling, but it's something that's actually quite inspiring. It's almost like God is saying, see, you know, that same DNA in that person is in you as well. You know, you can do great things for the kingdom of God. And this woman was sharing just these stories of getting, I mean, beat up or head kicked in and, just on and on and on, and just, you know, I sit there, and she's like smiling the whole time she's telling the story. And I was like, wow, there's something different about you. You're just like me. I'm a Christian too. I'm a leader as well, but yet there's something profound, and yet something quite inspiring, hopeful as well. And in that same way, you know, the Christian life is like that. It's paradoxical in many ways. And the second part of that, a lot of that is talking about misunderstanding. It's again, that it's that human perspective, and then it's the heavenly perspective. Unknown in the world, but man, very well known. Dying in the world, but living in God. Punished, but not put to death. Sorrowful, in the world, in the flesh, but always rejoicing. Poor in the flesh, but making many rich. Having nothing in the flesh, yet possessing all things. This is paradox that we live in. That's why, you know, Paul can be discouraged if you focus on what's happening here in your face right now, or you can become quite inspired and honestly, be quite cheerful when you realize what's going up on the other side of this earth and what God is doing. And then he continues on. And so the part here, he's talking about, look, change your attitude towards me. Change your attitude towards the ministry, my apostleship. And then he kind of turns the corner and he says, change your attitude towards the world. And he picks one aspect of the Corinthians in the world and this idea of being unequally yoked. Verse 14, do not be bound together with unbelievers. And people read the verse 14, but they actually don't read further later on. The idea is, what's the big deal? You know, there's not that many good Christian guys, Pastor Sam. In fact, the Christian guys are just like the guys in the world. I've heard this many times from our sisters at our church. You know, the Christian guys, they're not any different than guys I meet in the world. They have the same values. They talk the same. There's not really not much of a distinctiveness, per se. But see, he says very clearly, do not be bound with unbelievers, what partnership, and as you continue on, what partnership does righteousness and lawlessness have? And then he goes further, what kind of fellowship has light with darkness? I mean, Paul is laying down a very serious case here. And he goes further, what harmony has Christ with Belial, which is a name of an ancient god, you know, is a demon, pure evil. And he's making this distinction there. And he says, and what agreement has a temple of God with idols? I mean, he's compared this with righteousness, lawlessness, light and darkness, Christ and the devil. I mean, notice every step it kind of gets worse and worse and worse. And then the temple of God with idols. I mean, this is quite a serious case. And the thing is, when you merely look upon this issue in very natural terms, there could be room for compromise. But when you look at it on a spiritual plane, and in that kind of lens, it becomes a huge, huge thing. Especially when you start realizing the roles of men and women in relationship, you realize the roles of eventual parents in a relationship, you know, and you understand that life that we have, it changes things. It totally changes the ball game. And he says, look, change your attitude towards the world. Yes, the world does this and it operates in this way, but don't be unequally yoked. Don't set yourself up for something. And especially in probably one of the most important aspects of our Christian life, which is the area of relationships. Everything about the Christian life is about relationship. And, you know, either our relationship with God, our relationship with ourselves, or our relationship with other people around us. The whole Bible, that's what this whole thing's about. Christ died so that the Father can have a relationship with his wayward children. I mean, this motif goes all throughout from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And in that very most important thing as the primary relationship in your human life, which is with your spouse, he says, don't be unequally yoked. Change your attitude about things that are happening in the world. You know, don't give me these excuses. And I know it's difficult, especially for women. I know it's difficult. You know, we had Bible study on Wednesday, just a few days ago, and there was like 40-some women that came out, and I counted. I didn't count the women. There were too many to count, and there were 11 guys. It's 4-1. I was like, wow. If I'm a guy, I'm thinking, wow, this is a pretty good place to be at, you know, but that's a whole other thing. If I was a single guy. But, man, it's I understand. It's a dichotomy, but you still got to trust in the Lord in this thing. Don't be unequally yoked. Do not touch what is unclean. And he says, and I will welcome you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Very, very serious words. And if you're dealing with this as a person and whatnot, just make it a priority that you don't even entertain that. A very similar thing. When we do our premarital counseling, we go through that, we tell people right off the bat, divorce is not an option. You don't even think about it. I mean, it's just take it off the table. You know, and obviously people are there, they're thinking, well, we're so in love, we're not going to. But now we say right from the start, don't even entertain anything about divorce. You know, and we have people do what's called 10 Commandments of Arguing. And, you know, we tell people, in other words, the couples come together and they make these 10 commands together. And it's really about conflict resolution. And one of the things that we always ask people to include in there is no D word. It's just not even part of the equation. Now, that's on a marriage perspective. And let me throw something at you in a dating perspective. Don't even entertain being unequally yoked. Don't even entertain, you know, the thought of joining yourself with someone that's, and even the unequally yoked. The issue actually is not just dealing with it's not just a salvation issue, even though that's primarily the context here. Obviously, he's talking about Christ, you know, the devil, and so we see light and darkness. But it's also in the same sense that there'll be some kind of spiritual compatibility. Just even when the word is unequally yoked, you know, you could have two Christians that are very unequally yoked in a sense. Now, I'm taking this out of context, okay? So I don't want you to get weird on me or think I'm getting weird on you. But there's this aspect, and it's kind of a word of wisdom and advice, of being spiritually compatible. Can you imagine one of the worst things in your life if that your boyfriend or girlfriend was a Christian or whatnot, but was so theologically different than you that it actually took joy out of your relationship with God? Maybe in the sense that maybe someone was like very charismatic and someone's very non-charismatic, you know, and just the joy of the Spirit, whenever you exercise that, just looked down upon. And can you imagine how horrible that relationship would be? I say that because I've had a lot of friends in those types of relationships, and just the life of God just gets sucked out of them. So don't be unequally yoked. It goes back to this idea, is God absolutely trustworthy? Can you trust Him with your life? Then you can trust Him with your spouse, and you can trust Him with your finances, your work. I mean, it goes on and on and on. It becomes a trust issue, right? And so let's close our eyes today. First and foremost, if you need to reconcile with God, today is the day. If you are far from the Lord, maybe you're here in body, but you're absent in heart, today is the day for you to come to draw near to Him. And then in this other aspect, obviously, we are commending Paul's ministry, so we're not in that boat. But this idea of do not be bound together with unbelievers. Do not be unequally yoked. It's this picture of oxen when they are moving along and they're tilling the ground. If you have one oxen that's just a beast, man, just strong. Yeah, another one that's really, really weak. When you begin to till the ground, guess what's going to happen? It's going to be crooked. It's not going to be straight. It's going to create problems. The one strong oxen is going to get worn out very quickly. But yet, can you imagine when they're equally yoked? They're both in that same stature. How strong both of them become. Ecclesiastes says two is better than one. There's something about the combination. And that's what God has for us. So don't be unequally yoked. If you're in a dating relationship or you're thinking about dating, thinking about getting married and whatnot, just settle in your heart right now that you're going to obey the Lord. You're going to obey what Paul is saying here. And really follow through. Don't even entertain those thoughts. And as Yvain leads us, let's just meditate. Go before the Lord this morning, and let's just begin to think about what Paul talked about in terms of his ministry being disqualified. It could be through avenues of relationships that gets disqualified, that gets later on. It could be maybe our mindset is too temporal instead of eternal, that we're so fixated on what's going on right now here on this earth. I'm not saying be ignorant of what's going on the earth, but our focus is on heaven. Remember, we're citizens. We're aliens in this land. We're citizens of heaven. Whole chapter 5 talked about. And so are there any chinks in our armor? Is there any hypocrisy? Let's ask God to search our hearts and make sure that we're walking according to the will and the good pleasure of God in our lives. And let's spend some time and let's pray together. Let's go to our community prayer focus. Let's pray for our community that's going through illness and disease. Let's ask God's hand to come and bring healing word. Let's pray that they would have their focus on the eternal, not just the temporal, even though we're praying for the temporal. And God is concerned about that. Let's pray that their focus and our prayers would reach up to heaven. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community that's sick, but more than that is eternally sick. Let's pray, even as Paul said, today is a day of salvation. Now is the time. Let's pray that God would really speak that word into their lives and cover these family members that need to be healed, but need to be healed eternally as well in their relationship with God. Let's also pray for our community that's going through different kinds of illnesses, and let's ask the Lord's hand to cover them. Let's pray for ones that are looking for work. Let's pray for God's hand to be with them. Let's pray for God to open doors. Pray for that for a season of encouragement over their lives as well. Let's lift up. Let's go to our mission prayer focus. And let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for the local ministries here. Let's pray for YWAM, and all the different ministries under them, Face to Face, Sanction Kala, Feed the Hungry, CSW. Let's pray that the work of the Lord here in Hong Kong becomes magnified. Let's pray for all the leaders in these ministries that Holy Spirit would guide them and give them wisdom, anointing, provision, everything they need to succeed. Let's just lift up right now. Let's continue to lift up our team in Japan. Pray for Pastor Sophia and the other members. Pray for a real fruitful time of ministry. Pray that they would be changed as much as they're changing others around them. Let's lift them up. Let's pray for our church ministries and our worship and audio video teams, welcoming, hospitality, and our barista ministries. Let's pray for all these ones that play a real such significant roles during our weekend services. And let's ask for Holy Spirit to draw them to Him. Let's pray that they would serve with such joy. They would be punctual for their roles and their assignments. And that they would just really be used powerfully by God to lead people closer to Him, closer to His church. Let's lift up these teams and people to the Lord, leaders. Lastly, let's just cover our activities this weekend. Let's pray for God to really bring our community together and more passionate for the Lord. Let's pray we have EG starting tonight and another EG class on Saturday. Let's pray for our services over the weekend. Pray for our IP meeting tonight. Pray for just the hand of God to be with them as they pray up God's purposes. Cover our services, cover the youth group, cover the children, the preaching of the word throughout this weekend. Sunday night we have our first house church leaders meeting of the new season. Let's pray for a fruitful time of gathering and strategizing and connecting. Chris Valentin is in Hong Kong this weekend, and SP is one of the sponsoring churches. And so that starts Saturday night and Monday and Tuesday. Let's pray for real fruitful times. If you could pray for me, I'm meant to MC a few of the sessions. So I actually don't know what to do, but I'm sure God will do something. And so let's pray for just real time for Hong Kong through the ministry of Chris Valentin, that the Lord would move to us and through us. Let's just ask for the Lord to come and move upon us, especially over the weekend, that people would sign up for the retreat and get ready for that. So let's cover all the bases at the church right now. Lord, we thank you for grace, God, that is so easily given to us, and pray that we'd receive it, Lord, and that we'd live through it, God. Well, Father, we ask you to watch over us, Lord, throughout this weekend. We thank you for so many different gatherings, God, here at SP, here in Hong Kong, where you give us opportunities, God, to grow, Lord, to know more about you, God, to be transformed by you. And we're just so grateful. We're so thankful, God. And so as we gather together, Lord, do a defining work in our lives, Lord. Watch over us this day, God. Help us to give you our very best in all that we do. We bless you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.